conference will now be recorded.
We have two other callers that are not identified, caller number 10 and caller number 11.
This is Sila Miller. I'm probably caller number 11. I just connected from a 5556 number.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Sila.
Thank you.
This is Richard Hawk. May we talk to this?
Could you repeat your name, please? It was very difficult to hear you.
Richard Haas with JH Architect.
Thank you, Mr. Haas. And caller number 12. Caller number 12 and caller number 13.
If you just dialed in, please let us know who you are.
Joyce Owens.
Let's try that again.
Joyce Owens.
Okay, it's after 2. Let's go ahead and get started, and we'll see if we can identify those persons later on caller 12 and 14. So it is 2:01, and this is an Accessibility Advisory Council meeting. It is now 2:01. Today's date is June the 6th of 2024, and this meeting is called to order. We'd like to go ahead and call roll and confirm that we have our quorum. Council members, please answer by saying here. Joe Delvecchio. Sila Miller.
Here.
Beth Meyer.
Here.
Paul Vixney.
Here.
Allison Klein.
Here.
Stan DiAranzetta.
Here.
And Darlene Crow, Liable Crow. I know Darlene's on the line. I heard her earlier.
I think she's going to have to dial back in because she's muted now, and it won't let me unmute her.
Joe Delvecchio. That does give us a quorum. I'm Marlita Peters. I'm going to help facilitate your meeting today. The other staff on the line are Mo Madani, Justin Vogel, Sabrina Evans, Chip Sellers, Jim Hammers. I see we have our new executive director, Alan Burke, joining us. And do we have any other guests on the line who would like to be recognized for the recording?
Yes, Joyce Owens.
Are you representing a property, Ms. Owens?
Yes.
Which waiver number, please?
It's the fifth. One on the agenda, Salamar.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Darlene. I'm here.
Thank you, Darlene. Any other guests on the line that would like to be recognized for the recording? Hearing none.
Excuse me, there's one more guest on the line.
Yes.
I don't think you can hear him. Jovan Millick.
Jovan Millick, is he also with Shalimar?
He is, yes. But you're unable to hear him, right?
Correct.
He may have his phone muted or his computer.
He's on his phone right now.
Sorry, are you able to hear me?
Okay.
We are now.
Yes, we hear you.
Okay, great, yes. Jovan Millick, with Architecture Joyce Owens for Shalimar.
Can you spell your last name, Mr. Millay?
Yeah, M for Mike, I-L-L-E, T for Tango.
Millay, thank you.
Yes.
All right, council members, we would like to approve the agenda as posted if there are no recommended changes.
I apologize.
Silent
we
number,
we
so
move the agenda.
Okay, we've got Paul and Sila. All those in favor of the agenda as posted, please vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. We'd like to review and approve our previous minutes of April the 4th, 2024. There are no recommended changes or corrections.
I call Vex to move that we approve the minutes.
And the second?
That's my second.
Okay, we'll go with Beth this time. All those in favor of the minutes as posted, please vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, we're going to hear the Commission's actions of the April 2024 waiver applications. Mr. Madani?
Yeah, can you hear me? This is Mom Madani, and the actions on the waivers based on the Commission were similar to that of the Council on the last meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Now let's move to our items for discussion today. First on the agenda is Ivan Purvis, waiver number 659. Mr. Sellers.
The issue is vertical accessibility to the second floor. The project type is an alteration to an existing building or facility. Project progress under construction, compliance estimate, and amount spent on accessible features is $84,201. Project construction costs and construction over the past 3 years is $92,405 with a 91% economic threshold. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to an existing two-story office building with 12,910 square feet. The proposed alteration will consist of installation of a new egress fixtures, stairs, enclosed staircase, light fixtures, and walls for new training rooms. According to the applicant, the building will be used as a business occupancy and will hold training for a maritime school. There will be training rooms on the first and second floor. The first floor is fully accessible. The project cost is $92,405 for the alteration. The applicant has submitted two cost estimates of $33,000 and $18,894. For a lift, plus $65,307 for associated costs to install the lift. The applicant alleges the hardship is caused by substantial financial cost, which will be incurred by the owner if the waiver is denied. Staff recommends granting the request for a waiver for vertical accessibility on the grounds of economic hardship.
Thank you. Do we have anyone representing this property on the line that would like to speak?
Hello, my name's Michael Lomelli with JA Architecture.
Just by your last name, please.
It's L-O-M-E-L-I.
Thank you. And your comment, sir?
Comment. Everything was stated perfectly by Mr. Sellers.
Thank you so much. Council members, any clarifying questions before we go into public comment? Hearing nothing, is there anyone from the public with comments or questions? Council members, back to you for discussion and or motion.
I call this move that we approve this based on economic hardship.
This is Allison Klein. I'll second it.
All those in favor of the motion as stated, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. The motion stands. Next on the agenda is item number 2, Max Living Headquarters, waiver number 671. Mr. Sellers.
The issue is vertical accessibility to the second floor. The project type is an alteration to an existing building or facility. Project progress under construction, compliance estimate, and amount spent on accessible features is $137,951. The project construction costs construction over the past 3 years is $360,190 with an economic threshold of 38%. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to an existing two-story office building with 5,878 square feet. The proposed alteration will consist of interior drywall, electrical, HVAC, painting doors, windows, flooring, and ADA restrooms. According to the applicant, the first floor is fully accessible and that the installation of a lift is not feasible since the second floor height is greater than 14 feet. The project cost is $360,190 for the alteration, with $24,293 going towards accessibility. The applicant has submitted two cost estimates of $88,564 and $98,000 for a Lula elevator, plus $25,094 for associated costs to install the Lula. The applicant alleges the hardship is caused by substantial financial costs will be incurred by the owner if the waiver is denied. Staff recommends granting the request for waiver for vertical accessibility on the grounds of economic hardship.
Thank you. Do we have anyone on the line representing Max Living Property?
Yes. This is Nathan Wallace, W-A-L-L-A-C-E. I represent the architect and GC.
Do you have any additional comments, Mr. Wallace?
I do not.
Thank you. Council members, any clarifying questions?
This is Allison Klein. What is a Lula elevator?
Lula elevator is a type of lift. We were attempting to install a vertical platform lift that is not as expensive as a Lula, that has its own requirements. But Lula is an acronym for
limited use.
Limited use. Thank you.
Any further comments or questions? Council members.
I politically move that we approve this waiver on the basis of economic hardship.
This is Darlene.
Darlene,
second.
Thank you. Any further comments or questions? Council members.
Yes,
Council member Vixney and Darlene Liable Crow. If there's no further discussion, all those in favor of the motion, please vote by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. The motion stands. We will move to item number 3, Jonathan Tran, waiver number 669.
The issue is vertical accessibility to the second floor. This is an alteration to an existing building or facility. Project progress is completed. Compliance estimate and amount spent on accessible features is $10,350. Project construction cost. Construction over the past 3 years is $28,397 with an economic threshold of 36%. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to an existing two-story building with 1,900 square feet. The existing building is a mixed occupancy with a restaurant on the first floor and a salon suite on the second floor. The alteration consisted of interior drywall, electrical, painting, doors, and tiling. The project cost is $28,397 for the alteration. The applicant has submitted two cost estimates of $10,350 and $20,029 for a lift. The applicant alleges that the hardship is caused by substantial financial costs will be incurred by the owner if the waiver is denied. Staff recommends granting the request for a waiver for vertical accessibility on the grounds of economic threshold. Or hardship, excuse me.
Thank you. And is there anyone representing this property on the line? Hearing no one. Do we have any clarifying questions from the council? Or anyone from the public? council members back to you for final discussion and or motion.
This is Sila Miller. I would move that we grant this waiver on the basis of economic hardship.
Thank you, Sila.
Hold 60 seconds. Okay.
All 60. All those in favor of the motion, please vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion stands. We now have item number 4, Tampa Electric Company Skills Training Center, waiver number 670.
The issue is vertical accessibility to the mezzanine and balcony, project type, new construction, and project progress under design. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to the mezzanine and balcony of a new one-story building with a floor area of 35,759 square feet. Proposed project is a business occupancy building at an existing Tampa Electric Secure Operations Center located in Hillsborough County. The functional area is located at ground level within the building, including offices, meeting rooms, training rooms, as well as a mezzanine and balcony. The mezzanine and balcony are located within the lobby and dedicated to the development of skills required for power line workers to observe, perform all tasks related to electrical delivery. The project estimated cost is $17.8 million for the construction. Applicants stated that the mezzanine and balcony are intended for able-bodied line worker trainees for the development of critical electrical delivery skills through observations. Applicant alleges the hardship is caused by a condition or set of conditions affecting the owner, which does not affect the owners in general. Staff recommends denying the request for waiver for vertical accessibility since the project in question is new construction.
Do you have anyone from Tampa Electric representing this property?
Yes, this is Tony Huggins with JH Architects, and Richard Hawes is also on the line.
Do you have any additional comments, Mr. Huggins or Mr. Hawes?
It was difficult for me to hear what he said, but if he read what we submitted, we're fine with it. Richard, did you have any comments?
No, I did not.
Thank you. Council members, any clarifying questions on this one? And we'll need to give the public time to speak as well. No one from the council has questions. Does anyone from the public have questions or comments? Hearing none, council members, back to you for a motion and or discussion.
This is Allison Klein. I would move to deny this application.
This is Darlene. I second it.
And is that based on staff comments because it's new construction?
Because it's new construction, yes.
Thank you. Any further discussion, council members? All those in favor of the motion as stated, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion stands. Now on item number 5, Shalimar Beach Resort, waiver number 672. Mr. Sellers?
All right. The issue is vertical accessibility to the second floor. Project type is new construction and project progress under construction. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to the second floor of four duplex buildings of a new two-story hotel with a floor area of 20,930 square feet. The proposed project is redeveloped new hotel with 33 guest rooms being split into raised two-story motel building containing 21 units, four raised one-story duplex buildings containing 8 units, one raised two-story fourplex building containing 4 units, and an office suite with manager's private residence. The engineer for the project stated that the proposed project was designed to fulfill current building code common use facilities and the rooftop observation deck at the motel building will also be fully accessible. The project cost is $16,241,538 for the construction. The applicant stated that the additional access to the duplex buildings would not increase the parity of guest experience with or without any form of disability. Applicant alleges substantial financial costs will be incurred by the owner if the waiver is denied. Staff recommends denying the request for waiver for vertical accessibility since the project in question is new construction.
Thank you. We have Ms. Joyce Owens on the line and Jovan Millay. Do either of you have any additional comments you'd like to make?
Yes. Hi, this is Jovan Millay from Architecture Joyce Owens.
Thank you, sir.
So I would mostly just like to clarify on this. You know, first, we want to say that this project did come for a previous waiver request a few months ago, and that at that point it was denied on the basis of being new construction for economic hardship, and I'd like to say that we did erroneously submit it under that pretense, and I'd like to clarify that that's not our intent at the moment. We understand that waivers aren't granted for new construction based on economic hardship. We did submit some new comments that amend the staff description. I believe the staff description was kind of an amalgamation of our previous one and our new one. But do you have that in front of you? It's the comments from Jovan Millay. Okay. Yeah, I know it was posted on the agenda. If I may, I'd love to. Yeah, if I can. So the waiver request that we're asking for is based primarily on our professional belief that the project has, in whole, provided an equitable, accessible experience to all guests on the property, including all guest amenities, services, and parking. The current proposed design is intended to meet the local jurisdiction's requirements for redevelopment, which, you know, require that the property be designed to mimic the pre-existing mass, form, height, and density, and at the same time, it's designed to meet the state requirements for building elevation above the floodplain, all while still maintaining equitable access to all shared guest amenities, as well as direct access, in our case, to 25 out of the 33 guest rooms on campus. And so, given these, what we're asking for is to waive the vertical access requirements explicitly and exclusively for the duplex buildings, which constitutes 8 guest rooms out of the 33. And we believe that in doing so, the project would still meet the national model codes for accessibility, and it would be more in line with the directives of the local jurisdiction who wishes for their island to maintain its historic small island living. Thank you. And, you know, we understand the difficulty of you know, this project and, of course, of maintaining, you know, accessibility and equity to all guests and all people who use the space, and we appreciate your reconsideration on this.
And this is Joyce Owens, and I'd just like to follow up to sort of expand a little bit on what Jovan has explained to you, is that rebuilding on an island that was devastated by a hurricane, and all of the jurisdictions that have had a say in what, in the rebuild and the design of this new project on the island, has been overwhelming in so many ways to be able to listen to what, you know, the Sanibel people, what they want to see their island to be in the future, and what it can be with all of these restrictions that are being put on the resort by so many different entities. And so we have tried to the best of our ability to give so much access to accessible needs, which we believe is very important, And I'd just like to reiterate, 25 of the 33 units are accessible, and all amenities, including the pool, the roof terrace, the office, accessibility around the site so you can get around the site comfortably, that's all been accommodated within this. But it's hard for the design to maintain that small field with all these elevators everywhere. So we just thank you again for giving us this opportunity to bring this in front of you, and we hope that you'll consider all the different efforts that we've had to put into this project to get it where it is. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Council members, any clarifying questions of either Mr. Sellers or our guest who represent the property?
This is Beth Meyer. Is the experience going to be the same? Is there a dispersion of the experience? Because I know it's a big, and I know it's a lot that you're working on, and there's a lot to consider and do when you're rebuilding an entire, you know, island. Very sympathetic to that, but will the experience visualized be the same in the unit? Or is there a big difference?
Yeah. Sorry to cut you off. This is Javon Malay here. We dispersed the unit types. Basically, there were two required accessible unit types, and we dispersed them, one at the motel building, which contains the bulk of the units, and one in the fourplex, which is basically, we have two types of buildings on this campus. There's a motel building, which contains typical, like, hotel rooms, right? And then what we call a cottage building, which contains suites, one- and two-bedroom suites. So the units are dispersed between those two types. One is a motel room, and one is a one-bedroom cottage unit.
Yeah, and to clarify that further... Jovan, I would say what's important is it's full accessibility to all the motel rooms, so you get all the same. Everyone gets, you know, the equality there. But the ADA unit in the duplex is actually it's right on the beach. It has the best view in the best location. So it is getting a prime location there, okay? So, and that unit is accessible by an elevator. So the other duplexes don't even have as good a view as that one does. So just by location of where it is on the site.
Those previous comments were Ms. Joyce Owens.
Thank you.
Do you have any further questions? Council members. Is there anyone from the public with questions or comments? Hearing none, council members, back to you for discussion and or a motion.
Marlita?
Yes.
This is Bradshaw. I'm sorry, I had my mute on.
Okay, go ahead, Brad, before we call a motion.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk a little bit on this one, to get everything clear, the architect is a friend of mine, and I've done work, we shared consulting work together. But anyway, the problem with this thing is that we have to let people be able to build something back at the scale it was before. They've done a good job of breaking it down. The legislature doesn't say that every single unit has to be accessible. It says the experience has to be accessible. And the application is to really just take eight units and just make those without accessible features, but they would be available everywhere else. Joyce is right. They have put the prime location for the accessible spots. So the question is really, what are we going to do when nature wipes the site clean? Obviously, you don't get any credit for being an existing building, but the people in Sanibel and everybody is worried that what's going to come back is the only thing that fits the ability is these big buildings, high-rise buildings. So the little cottage, which is what they kind of want to build, is you can't do with the vertical accessibility requirements. So what they've done, which I think is excellent, is they've taken a small section of that and made that non-accessible, but obviously everybody can get to it except for a ramp wheelchair. But anyway, this, you know, this is something that's going to come up because you've got a lot of big projects. I work on some projects that are way out of scale for this thing, and the excuse is that the regulations are pushing them to make these tall buildings. But anyway, thanks for the time.
Thank you, Matt.
This is Mo Medani, if it's okay.
Go ahead.
The issue with this and how we approach waivers is that we have a specific criteria for issuing a waiver. As you know, we have the technical infeasibility, we have the economic hardship, we have the historic, and we have the specific requirements which require vertical accessibility to all levels, occupiable levels. The issue here is that I know first time you guys approached us, and what it seemed like you were focusing on economic hardship. You know why? You know what's the reason of not providing vertical accessibility to these other units? I know you're talking about the distribution, you're talking about satisfying the ADA and all that, but the question is, what is really the justification for the waiver? It seems like, you know, what we have said is that there's specific criteria that we need to use to be able to issue the waiver. And we did issue waivers based on, for new constructions, based on unnecessary and unreasonable hardship, which is really tied to the cost. So I'm trying to really figure out what is the basis for the waiver. If it's not cost, then why are we waiving it?
This is Sean Neisel. I'm the owner. Can I speak?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Can you spell your last name, please?
Yeah, Neisel, N-I-D-S-E-L.
Go ahead, Mr. Neisel.
Thank you. So, I mean, to me, the reason for the waiver, I mean, to start, you know, this was 15 structures that got completely destroyed from Hurricane Ian. We never wanted to rebuild or reconstruct. This is an island resort with an island feel and individual cottage units that were ground level on the beach. So what we've had to do because of Hurricane Ian is move everything way far off the beach, elevate every structure, and we had 33 units, so Sanibel is allowing us to put back 33 units. And part of that is adding, you know, we had zero ADA units prior, now we're going to have two ADA units, nothing was accessible prior, now everything, you know, was built in 1959. Every, you know, 25 out of the 33 units, we want to make accessible. We want to do what's right for the island and for all equitable guests. We're just here trying to say that given the historic nature of the island and the cottage feel and the financial hardship that will come from adding four more lifts, I mean, that would be a total of two commercial elevators, and we would have a total of six lifts on site at one small resort. This is a mom and pop family, you know, island business. We're not some big box that can afford to do, you know, these two commercial elevators and six lifts. So what the architecture team is saying is we thought we provided, you know, what was equitable to get everyone where they needed to be, and 25 out of the 33 are accessible. And if we would have had any idea that this would have been a factor a year ago, we wouldn't have designed it this way at all. But this is what we wanted to do to keep the island's historic nature on the island. So I'd say it's a mixture of you know, you got the historic nature, and you also got the financial hardship that'll come onto me if I'm able to even, you know, build back this hotel on the island after Ian because of having to add so many elevators and lifts. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Neasel. Any other comments from the public?
Yeah, this is Brad Chipper again, sorry. You know, but one thing, if we could do, would we be able ever to somebody could prove the existing building that was there before it was wiped out? And if that could be the existing building, then we could step right into some of these accessibility situations much better. But what happens, if like in this building's case, if it totally scrapes the site, it really isn't fair to the owners that they lose the rights they had with the prior building. Anyway, thank you.
Yeah, this is Mormagani again. I think based on what the owner is stating and based on what I'm hearing is that, and is the fact that there is additional cost due to the fact that you have to provide for lifts or for a breaker. That's really where you want to focus on. Is there unreasonable and unnecessary economic hardship to justify the waiver, and that's what you need to focus on really, as we've done for other in new construction situations.
This is Justin Bobel, the attorney. If I can jump in just briefly to let the council know that you do, as Mr. Madani said, you do have the option to grant a waiver of vertical accessibility for new construction. It is not unheard of for the commission to it. I mean, you can recommend it, of course. The commission is what ultimately takes the action. And so, unlike with an existing structure where an alteration is occurring, this is not an economic hardship threshold question, and I think there's perhaps been some confusion on the part of the applicant with respect to that. But as Mo noted, there does have to be unnecessary, unreasonable, or extreme hardship involved, and in the commission's rules, it defines that as being the hardship being caused by a condition or set of conditions affecting the owner, which does not affect owners in general. That's why you see that language frequently in staff recommendations. It also there has to be substantial financial costs that will be incurred by the owner if the waiver is denied, and also the owner has to have made diligent investigation into the cost of compliance with the code, but was not able to find an efficient mode of compliance. So if you find that that is the case, then you do have the option to recommend that the commission grant the waiver. It's up to you, but there is, as Mr. Madani noted, a financial hardship component to it. It's just not the economic hardship threshold that deals with alterations to existing structures.
Thank you, Mr. Vogel. Any other public comments at this time? Okay. Back to the council only for discussion and or a motion.
This is Sila. Just a clarifying question, please, and I may have missed it during the discussion. The 8 units that are not accessible, are they all in the same building or are they in 2 or 3 different buildings?
4 separate buildings.
4 separate buildings. Thank you.
This is Allison Klein. I mean, if we were even to consider it, wouldn't we need to see the cost, the estimates for the lifts and what would be required?
This is Justin Vogel. No, not necessarily. I mean, you could potentially request that information if you thought that was relevant. But there's not a direct threshold or calculation that is involved in this particular issue, and so you could take it based on the testimony from the applicant and perhaps your knowledge of the general costs with it. Certainly, you could request that information.
And we could certainly provide that.
This is Joyce Owen.
Go ahead, Joyce.
I'm sorry. Okay, thank you. I just want to say that in the last time we did this, we did provide that information, so you do have that information available from the last time we put in an application.
This is Mo Madani. I think if you go to the analysis, which is included in the analysis that you have before you from the old, from the last time, it does state in there that the estimated cost for the four elevator is $662,500. So it does, and I did provide that last time.
Yeah. And that is already what we are spending on the new commercial elevators and lifts that we're going to have regardless. And so we're talking about over $1 million in elevators. I mean, that's close to what I got paid out on insurance in full.
So, we'll get some comments at this time.
This is Beth Meyer. Can I help? May I speak?
Yes, Beth Lamont. I just want to confirm the last comments were made by Mr. Neasel for our recording purposes. And go ahead, Ms. Myers.
So I have, you know, at the last call, I think the heavy lift here is the fact that we know that if the area was decimated, we understand that it is setting a precedent, and that is what, you know, is a heavy lift. I'm going to say that I would support this moving forward, and I was not supportive of it before because I feel like there's been a tremendous amount of work that has been put forward to provide accessibility. They've also shared that it is a, they've dispersed it. There's been a lot of work that has been put in this. This is a difficult situation because, you know, to Brad's point is, gosh, if you would have, you know, pulled this, project together prior to, the building being decimated, you would have been an easy slam dunk change with not as anywhere near the accessibility changes that you have presented in this project. And I literally am very much against giving new buildings, you know, waivers just because. But I feel like in this situation that they have put forth a tremendous amount of effort to include accessibility, and this is more of a, for me, maybe if they would have teed it up a little differently, it would have gone, we would have perceived it as a council differently. And so we're not going to, this is a lot of money. And this is involving a rebuilding of a community, and it is so much more accessible than what was there. So I'm not sure, Mo, what my motion needs to say, except that I would approve this because I feel like the intent has been met.
Go ahead.
Ms. Meyer, I think that your motion would be to recommend that the commission approve the waiver petition on the grounds that providing vertical accessibility to the structures would be an unnecessary, unreasonable, and extreme hardship.
Okay. That's exactly it. I would be okay with it. And I am usually not a member of the council that's, there's a lot of ADA accessibility that they're bringing forward. That is very important. And I think a lot more, accessibility than, and it was presented a little bit different this time. I moved to support it due to the vertical accessibility. Go ahead.
This is Darlene. I do have one question. You mentioned that those 8 units that are not accessible are in 4 different places. That means 2 units per different spot. So, are the other units where those 2 units are acceptable? If they are. or why wasn't it made accessible when they did those? Maybe I'm asking and not understanding, but that's what I wanted to
know. This is Joyce Owens. May I respond to that?
Okay,
so
go ahead.
So, okay, I know it's hard because we don't have any visuals to be kind of looking at here, but the original historic resort was a motel that was right on the beach, and then some very cute little cottages that were more land, they were landward of the motel. And so when we approached the city of Sanibel, we were asked to please try to we were the first one out of the gate, first resort to be come to the city and say, what are we doing? Like, how are we going to approach rebuilding our island? And they said to us, could you please, like, try to keep the same feel as what it was before? Because that's what our island is. And so we had to put the motel back on the landward side, right by the road. And then, but we replaced the cottages with duplexes. So there are duplexes on the island and then one building that has four units in it. So there are four duplexes plus one. We call it a quad, okay? And so they are smaller buildings and as small as they can look because they're raised above flood, okay? But yet they're just two units each. And so because of that, the city was very, very happy to work with us because we had really worked to maintain this idea of a small mom-and-pop resort that they had in the past on the island, which were all gone now. They're all gone now. So not only are we setting a precedent for the island, you know, but for every project that goes forward. Because if we are required to put accessibility to every single unit and we can't do small buildings anymore, we're going to have every developer that comes in now is only going to do big buildings from now on because it's too expensive to ask for each building to have a lift in it. So that's, does that help? Does that make more sense?
Yes.
No.
Thank you, Ms. Owens. Darlene, did you have any further questions?
No, I got it now. Thank you.
Chip asked me to.
Do you have any further questions?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Council members, do you have any further questions?
Is there a motion made?
I believe there's a motion on the floor, but there has not been a second.
Correct. The motion was suggested to grant or approve based on unnecessary, unreasonable, and extreme hardship. Would there be a second considered?
Call 60 seconds.
We have Beth Meyer and Paul Vixney. Are there any further questions or comments, council members? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion stands. There's no one opposing. Do we have any other council business to be considered today? Any other public comment at this time? Any other council or staff comments? And if there are none, it is 2:49. We will consider our meeting adjourned. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you and have a good afternoon.